Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Mem Dalid. Today's daf should be dedicated for a continued Refuah Shleima for Daniela Bas Chava Sheindel. We left off in daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Hiniach Banim Gedolim Uktanim. A person leaves over Banim Gedolim Uktanim, both older children and younger children. Hishbichu Gedolim Es HaNechasim, Hishbichu Lamsa. So if the Gedolim work on the Nechasim, or let's not say they work on the Nechasim, the Gedolim have the Nechasim improve under their care, right, while the Nechasim have not yet been split amongst all the children, so it's still in what we call Betfusas Habayis. They never split the estate yet, and the Nechasim improve, so the improvements go not only to the Gedolim, whose care it was under, but to all the brothers. Im Amru, but if the Gedolim say, Ru'u Mashini Achaba, Hare Anu Osim Ve'ochlim, Hishpichu Li'atzman. But if the Gedolim say, look, this is what Abba left. Now we're going to go and improve it, and we're going to work on it, and it, right? And then and we would like to split the estate, but if you're not going to split the estate, we're going to work on our portions anyway, on what will one day be our portions. Then the shevach that they get from their work on the nechasim becomes their own. That's what Rashbam says. Mamru gedolim l'ktanim b'fnei edim. They have to say it in front of edim. Oh, amru lebeis din. Oh, b'tzibur, or in some sort of public way, they say, this is the estate. We're ready to split. And whatever we improve in the estate, we want it to be from our chelek. And then Bezin got lazy about splitting it. They didn't do anything right away. Then the shevach of that estate, we assume the Atzman, the Gedolim, get to keep for themselves. Tosus points out, v'shvichu gedolim ha-shevach le'emtza, when they don't make this declaration, we assume the shevach gets split amongst all the brothers, says Tosus, pirush rivam duhu adin gedolim u'gedolim. It doesn't have to be dafka gedolim and katanim. The same would be true if it were gedolim u'gedolim. Elo orcha demil sanakat. It just happens to take a typical case, and the typical case is that the gedolim are going to be working and the katanim aren't going to be working. They don't know what to do with the estate. So typically, if there's one section or one group of brothers that's going to be working and another that's not, so it's gedolim uketanim, but it's not dafka gedolim uketanim. It could even be a case of gedolim uketanim. Predictably, not all rishonim agree with this. The Ravid writes that which we say shavach le'emtza is dafka if it's gedolim uketanim, but gedolim uketanim, the shavach is not le'emtza, because it's dafka by gedolim uketanim that we say that the gedolim are mochel to the ketanim, that if the gedolim are going to work in it and they're going to improve the estate, they say, for our kid brother who can't do anything for himself, we're okay, we're going to be mochel that portion of the shevach, that he should be able to get some of it as well. But gedolim gedolim dinim kishutfim. By gedolim gedolim, they have a din of regular shutfim a yardim berishus, and the halacha by shutfim a yardim berishus is not that it's shevach le'emtza. So we would not say shevach le'emtza when it's gedolim gedolim. The Yad Ramah adds just a little bit more flavor to this idea of the Ravid, that when it's gedolim gedolim, we do not assume the shevach is on behalf of everybody, and the gedolim would have to get paid for their work, for their schar tircha. If it is on behalf of everybody, they would have to get paid for the work. He says as follows. He says that the reason we don't have a din of by gedolim uketanim of yored, of being yored l'toch stei chaveru and improving it, is because the gedolim know that there are ketanim, and they know that it's a nice thing to do to improve the field for the ketanim. So we're allowed to be tola that min astam, they're doing this for the sake of a mitzvah. And when you do something for the sake of a mitzvah, you're mochel on whatever schar tircha there might be. You don't need to get paid for the tircha that you do if you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. So that's dafka svara miyuchedas, that's specifically a svara by gedolim uketanim. That's where we could assume they're doing it l'shem mitzvah. And it's therefore the gedolim are mochel to the ketanim. And it would also only apply to ketanim that are relatives and are shutfim minuchasim, but not stam when you're yori the nichse ketanim bi'alma. It's not just a general assumption that we assume, you're always mochel for ketanim. No, it's dafka, you want to do something, we assume that your kavanas are to do something nice for ketanim who are your younger brothers. That's what we'll assume you're doing at l'shem mitzvah. The Ravid asks, how could we, based and allow the gedolim to be yored the nechasim to mashbiach them? The halacha is ein moridin karov l'nichsei katan. We don't allow a karov to go into the nechasim and the katan and start messing around. And even if he's being mashbiach it, then the chasma v'katan we leave alone. So how could we allow the gedolim to go improving the mechasim? So the Ravid explains that which we say in morid and karav v'nitzay katan is only when they aren't partners and they don't get parnasa together and they don't get mezonos together, where there's a chashash that we're afraid that whatever karov you put into those nechasim is then going to turn around and say, it's my nechasim, look, I have a chazaka on it, I've been working on it. But when they're nizonim al shulchan echad, when they all get fed from the same pot, and it's everybody's nechasim together, so then even gedolim would not have a chazaka on each other. You can't say, I'm muchzaka, must be mine because I've been working on it. No, he let you work on it because you're partners with him in it, not because you bought him out of his chelek. So if there's no chance of having a chazaka anyway, then there's no hesitation in allowing krovim to be yored lenichse ketanim. Says the Mishnah Vayter, and we have a parallel case. V'cheina isha sheishbicha es hanechasim, hishbicha la'emtza. A woman who's mashbiach the nechasim also is mashbiach it la'emtza, meaning that it gets split. Im amr ruma sheiniach li bali, hareni osav alcheles, hishbicha la'atzma. But if she makes the declaration in advance, look what my husband is leaving me, and I want to work on my portion of the estate, so then ishpich la'atzma, then all the shevach that she makes, and when she says that she's working only on her portion, she's going to get that shevach. If you look at Rashbam, ishpich la'atzma v'hudu lo shakla mezone. That's only if she didn't get mezonos. Di shakla mezone lo. Titran al mon mezonos milchsei somen amaisi yedash alahen. If she received mezonos from the Yisamim, then whatever work she's doing rightfully belongs to the Yisamim. Then you can't say Hishbicha Liatzma, right? But the basic fundamental chiluk in the Mishnah is stam, a case where some of the Yarshim go and work on the estate, versus a case where they make a declaration in advance, look, this is the estate, we'd like to split the estate up. If Bezin's going to be lazy about helping us split it up, I'm going to work and I want my portion. Right, those are the two possible cases of the Mishnah. If you look at Tosos, Imamah Ruma Sheiniach, Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel, he quotes Rashbam first. Ruma Hiniach Lanu Avinu Mezumanu Manu Lachlok, Umashe Nashbiach Nashbiach Mechelkenu, Mashma Sherotzu Lomar Sheinu Mashbiach Ela Mechelko Hamagio, Ve'Elo Ela Shevach Hamagio Lechelko. Says Tosos, what is strongly implied from the Rashbam is that whatever work the brother is doing when he makes this declaration in advance, the Gadol brother is doing when he makes this declaration, is only on the chelek that's magia to him, that he's going to receive, and only that shevach is something that he's entitled to. Says Tosos, I disagree. Ve'ein nir amida amar av safra shevach avo zuzi shaklinu rav safra mashma de shaklinu l'kulhu. What kind of a tevia can there be if he only takes that which is magiel chelko? Amar beizad neshach to zuzik command the pligi dami. Va'od kishe yachluku im magiel chelke echel chelko im kei nimtza shelo haya shavach shelo. When they divide it, if one of these chalakim end up in someone else's chelak, it will turn out that the shavach was not his. Al kein nira l'ri kapirish rivam, de shevach sheshbiach mikol hanachas mavishalov. So the Ri says against Rashbam, it's not only the shevach of that minor portion of the nechasim that's ultimately going to go to this brother that he gets to keep. The shevach of the entire nechasim go to him. V'lo dami yore l'toch sade shal chaver shalom b'rishos, she'en lo el schar tircho im ha'yetziah, oh, shoot of Tavikir Bereshus and Notel Ka'aris. And it's not like a case where someone else goes into someone else's field without permission and makes improvements on the field where he only gets paid for his work. Because in that case, the actual owner of the house could say, look, if I wanted to do that work, I could have done it myself. But over here, it's gedolim and ketanim. And if the gedolim would not do the work, the ketanim can't say, oh, I would have done it myself, I would have been happy to do it myself. No, the ketanim had no way of getting it done otherwise. And therefore, the man is entitled, the one who actually does it, is entitled not only to the revach within his chelek, but to the revach of the entire estate, to whatever improvements were made in the entire estate. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chaviva bereid Rav Yosef bereid Rava mishmeid Rava. So Rav Chaviva bereid Rav Yosef bereid Rava says in the name of his grandfather, in the name of Rava. Lo shanu el shishivchu nechasim machmas nechasim, avol shivchu nechasim machmas atzman hishpichu la'atzman. This idea that they split the shavach is only when they weren't toreach too much, they didn't put any money into it. There wasn't much tircha. It was they took from the nichsei aviyah and they took from the estate itself to hire workers to improve the estate. That's where we say everything gets split evenly. But let's say the older brothers come along, and with their own money, they go, or with their own time and their own effort, they go and they dig and they work and they fix the field, right? So in that case, then we wouldn't say shivchu nechasim machmas atzman. Then we say hishpichu la'atzman. Then we say whatever improvements they made belonged to themselves, because that they invested their own money in. They didn't invest the estate money in that. So frankly, mara eini is that sav amar bichanina afilu lo niach aviem ela udaini heschar la'emsa. But didn't we learn that even if the father just left over an udaini, they split the schar? What is an udaini? So it says Rashbam, udaini is bor v'kisuyo v'sochno solahashko sados mimeimav. An udaini is a bar that has a cover on it, and you would rent out the bar for people to use to be mashka the field, to irrigate their fields from the water of that bar. So with the udaini, the schar is la'emtza. If he rents out the udaini, if the father leaves the udaini, whatever schar they get from it gets split amongst all the brothers. Aivo udaini demachmas atzmohu. Udaini is a case where it's machmas atzmo, where the gadol needs to put work into renting it out. Why does he need to put work into renting it out? Says Rashbam, Shemeshamer also Agadolim, Mitzrichin Lamud El Gabav, Penya Hefker L'Kol Shuav Emayin. You need to protect it. You need to lock it. You need to watch over it. Make sure that people aren't going in there and taking water when they're unauthorized to do so. So it involves some of his own work. So that's Machmas Atzmo. And yet we still see that he doesn't get to keep all the schar. That the schar gets split amongst all the brothers. Answers the Gemara, no. Shaini udaini dilin tirusu davida vafilu katanim nami matzu mantarila. Yes, it involves some work, but it's work that katanim could have done also. All you need to do, the only work you need to do by an udaini is stand near it, and if anyone's about to come, say, hey, get away, this is mine. That's all you get. Katanim could do that as well. You don't need gedolim to do such a difficult job, right? So in such a case, it would be a shpichu la'emtza, even if the gadol puts in his own work. Now, Tosfos disagrees with the definition of udaini, right? If you look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil udaini, he says pirush bekunchos bar v'kisuyo ve'inir l'rabbeinu tam ela mefarishu kli gavoa sha'omdom alav shomrei sados ukram miros me'alav l'merachok. He says no, that what an udaini is a tall kli, it's a watch, you know, like like the lifeguard's seat, right? It's a high up place where you could sit or stand and watch and see from a great distance. It's a watchtower. V'gam huroi lishon alav. And you could also sleep on it. Kramin parak basu demayt katan yashna al gabe mita al gabe safsal al gabe yodaini. Because the Gemara in Mayt Katan discusses if a person sleeps on a bed or a safsal or an udaini. So you see that udaini is apparently some type of very high chair. You use it to watch out, to see a great distance. And that's what we understand what the Gemara says over here, that it's linitirusa huda avida. It's made linitirusa. The way Rashbam understood it is that it's something that you would watch over. Says Tosfos, no, linitirusa davida, its function is that it enables you to watch. That's what it serves as. It's a watchtower. The Yeshvarm Shkazben Idvani, Kmo Dvi Lahacha Lahacha. Okay, fine. Others have a different girsa. But the Yodaini is the Nitirusa. The Rashba says that it's Mustaver, that even if the Katanim, let's say you didn't have Katanim that are able to watch over. Let's take the Rashbam's Pshat, that an Yodaini is a bar, and all it takes to watch over it is to be able to tell people, get away, that's mine. Right, so we said that since even Katanim could do that, whatever shevach you get, whatever money that udaini makes, gets split amongst all the brothers, including the Katanim, because they could have done that too. Right, so frek the Rashba, what about what if the youngest brothers are, you know, the youngest brother is 3 months old? He can't watch over it and tell anyone to get away. So would you still say a shevach le'emsa? Meaning, how small is small? Right, so the Rashbam says, now it's a low plug. even if the youngest brothers were mutal barisa, they were kids in little babies in a crib, still we would say the shevach za emsa, because any time the malacha is so easy to do that even very young children could do it, we assume the gedolim are mochel, no matter whether their particular brothers are capable of doing it or not. We assume with such easy malachos, there's an assumed mechila. Right? And the Ritva writes, kol esek keyotzibo, any esek that's done with a kliya bias or masav matan l'scharu that ketanim could do just as well as gedolim, we assume the shevach is the emtsa. It's lav dafka udaini. It's any sort of very easy task that we're going to assume that the schar is the emtsa, even where the gedolim are the ones that actually went out and did it themselves and did the work themselves. Fine. Says Gemara Vayter, Amru ru'u ma shi'niyach abba hareyanu osin va'ochlin hishpich latzman. If they say, look what he niyach abba, look what our father left over, we're going to go now and benefit from it. So hishpich latzman, the shavach then goes to themselves. Rav Safra shavach avu azuzi, Rav Safra's father left him money. Shaklinu avadbu iskan. He went and he took that money and he did some business with that money. And it made, turned to profit. Asu achi, so his brothers, who were also part of the estate, came, tavu bedina kameh derava, and they were tovei Rav Safra to udin Torah. They said, okay, that money needs to be split amongst all of us. You're not the only brother here. Dad left it for all of us. You were mashbiach l'nechasim while it was still betfusas habayis. No, we had never split it. So nu, it gets split. Amr lehu Rav Safra gavar rabahu, lo shavik girse v'tarach lachrini. Rava said, no, Rav Safra is a very great man. He would never leave his learning to get involved in business just to benefit everybody else, so that everyone else can make money. Obviously, he was doing this so that he could make money for himself. And therefore, you should have understood that he was doing this for himself and that he's not being mochel this to the other brothers, and therefore it does not get split amongst the other brothers. It sounds a little bit strange. Gavar rabahu, and therefore what? He's selfish. Because he's a gavra rabba, therefore when we assume when he does anything, he's not doing it for anybody but himself. No, but the assumption is that gavra rabba, and therefore we assume tarasu umnaso, that whatever work he does, for whatever money he's going to make, is going to be his bare sustenance, his bare minimum that he needs to get by. And he was hoping that this would get him by for X amount of time. If you're going to make him split this now he's going to have to go back to work a different time, and he's going to have to work more in order to be able to get by. So we assume the Gavra Rabba, who dedicates all of his time to learning Torah, is not going to be mochel that money to his other brothers, because every cent is precious to him so that he can have more time to learn Torah. The Nemuka Yosef writes that nowadays, Bizman Azeh, we don't have anyone who would have this status of Rav Safra, who we would say is a Gavra Rabba, is a Tzorber Mer Rabbanan, and therefore it's assumed that he's doing it for himself and that no one else gets to share the money with him. We would not say such a thing anymore. Very similar to what the Rishonim say in Brachos Taf Tes Zayin, when it talks about Chasan Pater Mikriya Shema. Right? The Mishnah says that a Chasan on the first night, when he gets married, is Pater from Kriya Shema. Why is he Pater from Kriya Shema? Because he's not going to be able to have Kavana, he's going to be tarred on the first night, he's not going to be able to have proper Kavana. So all the Rishonim point out, yes, on the first night he's not going to be able to have proper Kavana, but that assumes that every other night he does have proper Kavana. Bizman Azeh, where we don't have proper Kavana any other night either, so the Chasan is Chayiv in Kriya Shema, and in fact, it's Yuara for the chassan to go and say Kriya and not say Kriya Shema on his wedding night, because he's saying, look at me, I always have Kavana, it's just tonight, because I'm Tarud, I'm not going to be able to have Kavana. So with some of these dinim of Tzur Mirabanan don't necessarily apply anymore. Now what's interesting is the Beis Yosef says that he disagrees with the Nemuka Yosef. He thinks that absolutely these dinim should still apply. Darkei Moshe, commenting on that Beis Yosef, says, yeah, we already know, we already said in Yoredeya that there's no real din of a Talmud Chacham nowadays. So the Sma assumes that what's the Darkei Moshe trying to say when he says that, yeah, there's no real din of a Talmud Chacham nowadays, that he's trying to agree with the Nemuka Yosef. He's trying to say that this din doesn't apply anymore nowadays. The problem is that the Ramah, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is not magia on the Beis Yosef, on the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch says this din, as if it still does apply nowadays, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a word. In Darkei Moshe, when the Beis Yosef quotes the Nemuka Yosef and disagrees with him, so Darkei Moshe says, oh no, in your day we said there's no din with Talmud Chacham. Sounds like he's defending the Nemuka Yosef, he's against the Beis Yosef. But then when the Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and he put into the Shulchan Aruch against the Nemuka Yosef, The Ramah does nothing to defend the Mukhe Yosef. The Ramah doesn't even quote as a Yesh Omrim against the Beis Yosef to defend the Mukhe Yosef. So the Birke Yosef, the Chidan, Birke Yosef, says that that which the Ramah is mitzayin to Yaradeya in Darkei Moshe is not to be maskim with the Mukhe Yosef. All he means to say is that just like in Yaradeya we say that even though there's no din of Talmud Chacham bizman hazeh in regards to giving a litra zahav when you were mevayishim or whatever, but nevertheless, regarding pattering someone from a tax, we're not medaktik, and we assume that someone could still be muchsak as a Talmud Chacham. So who had din over here? Even though there's no real din Talmud Chacham nowadays, legabe certain halachos, we're still going to apply a din of Talmud Chacham. Now why would that be? Why for some halachos we'll apply a din of Talmud Chacham? For other halachas, we won't apply a din of Talmud Chacham. So probably what it boils down to is as follows. Objectively, no one is really a Talmud Chacham the way the Gemara meant it. Right? And objectively, no one is quite Harasum Naso, the way Rav Safra was, and the way the Gemara meant many of these halachas. But there are certain halachas that are totally on objectively being a Talmud Chacham, and there are certain halachas that are dependent on how people treat you, and how you treat yourself. Meaning over here, in our Gemara, what's the halacha that we're dealing with? We're dealing with a brother who goes out and makes money, and we need to figure out whether he's assumed to be mochel some of those profits to his younger brothers. Well, if he holds himself to be a Talmud Chacham who doesn't waste a second of time, whether we hold him to be that or not, it doesn't make a difference. If that's what he holds himself and that's what his brothers hold him to be, so he's not mochel, the brothers know he's not mochel. End of story. So our halacha could apply even though we don't objectively have anyone who really has a din of a Talmud Chacham nowadays. Okay. Right there in the Gemara. Ha'isha she'shvicha ha'nechasim she'shvichas ha'nechasim she'shvicha le'emtsa. So we said the same by a woman. A woman who goes and is mashbiach ha'nechasim. So we assume that that shevach gets split amongst all the yarshim. So says the Gemara, Isha b'nichse yasmi maya vidita. Wait a second, what's the woman getting any of the Yerusha for? If they're Yisomim, if the man left behind children, how does she get Yerusha? What's she doing in that estate? Some Rabbi Yirmiya b'Isha Yereshes. No, we're dealing with a case of an Isha Yereshes. We're dealing with a case of a woman who's going to receive the Yerusha. What's an Isha Yereshes? Says Rashbam, Kigon shenas Ruven bas Shimon achiv umesu. Ruven marries his niece, and the daughter of Shimon, and Reuven and Shimon die. V'yarshu b'nei Reuven u'bas Shimon, es nichse Yaakov avi avien. So now everyone inherits both the children of Reuven and Reuven's wife, who not because she's Reuven's wife, but because she's the daughter of Shimon, inherit the estate of Yaakov, the grandfather. Right? So there you have a woman who was married to Reuven, who's going to split the estate with her husband's children. Right, why is she splitting the estate with her husband's children? Not because she's getting a chelik of her husband's Yerusha. No, she's getting a chelik of her father's Yerusha, because her father is no longer here. Oh, or another example, says Rashbam, could go bas ben abano, so bas haben ben abanim, dina kedina achin, a daughter amongst other daughters, or a daughter of a son amongst the other sons, has the din of a brother. Oh, sham rabbi latita lishti kechon ben abanim, or, more directly, if the husband said, I want my wife to get like one of the banim. I want my wife to get a share of the Yerusha like the sons get. So then she's a Yoreshes. So says Mar Pshitav, she's a Yoreshes. Obviously, she would have the din of any other Yoresh. So Mao Tema Kim de Lav Darka Lemitra Chavel Gav de Lo Parish Kamal de Parish Tamu Kamash Mlan. Now I might have thought that since it's not normal for a woman to be Matriach to go make money in the Nechasim, so the fact that she's doing it, she must be doing it for herself. Even if she doesn't explicitly say she's doing it for herself, we have the right to assume she's doing it for herself. Kamash Mlan, that we have no such right to make any such assumptions. Now, the Rashbam's first ukimta that we're dealing with a case that she's Yereshes, how? Not from her husband, but from her father, who in turn Yashin from her grandfather, right? That assumption, says Tosos, is very difficult in the Lashon of the Gemara. Right? Tosos points out, Ktas kasha lishna de ru'u mashi niach li bali, de mashma de yarsha mi baila velo mi Yaakov. Right, when the lashon of look what my husband left me that the Mishnah uses doesn't really fit that case, because it's not the husband left her anything, it's the grandfather that left her something, and through her father, nothing to do with her husband. So that's why Tosos gives different ukimtas in terms of what the case is that the woman is the yoresh. Fine. Says the Gemara weiter, v'mamar ru mashin yechli bal yarein yosef v'yachal v'shpichli atzma. If she says, look, here's the estate, I'm ready to split it, I'm going to go work on it now, then the shevach goes to her directly. So says Gemara Peshitta, of course the shevach goes to her. Ma'u detema kivin d'shvichla milsada amri katarcha kami yasmi yachuli achla kamash milan. Now one might have thought that since when this woman is going to go and work on the estate on behalf of the Yisomim, if she was actually working in on behalf of the Yisomim, everyone's going to say, oh, what a tzaddikas, what a fine woman, she's doing such nice things for the Yisomim. So since everyone's going to be mashbiach her, so I might think she's going to be happier with the words of praise and not to take the profits for herself than to take the profits for herself and not get the words of praise, and everyone's just going to say she's selfish. So kamash milan, that no, she'd rather have the money than the praise. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, hamasi isha lebeno gadol, if a man marries off a woman to his oldest son, bibayis, in a house, kano, the son is kona the house. We assume that the house goes to the son. Rashbam points out that haben los kano haben los abayis takanas chacham hi vilchsabelo time. The Gemara later on is going to say that there's no real strong logic for this. It's just the takana that the chacham have, where the chacham said that we assume that's what the father wants to do. That when he marries off his oldest son, he's ecstatic to be able to give his oldest son the house. He's very happy to be able to give his oldest son the house. V'dafka gadol, but that's only if it's his oldest son. V'dafka besula, and it's only if he marries the son off to a besula. V'dafka ishto rishon, and it's also only if it's the son's first marriage. V'dafka shesir rishon, right? And it's only if the oldest son is the first one that's being married off. So that's where we assume is the height of simcha. Marrying off your oldest child is also your first child. If you're marrying off your first child and he's not your oldest child, because the oldest one's unmarried, there's a little bit of tinge of sadness in the simcha, because you would want to give the older one first, right? So it has to be the epitome of all simcha in order to make this assumption that the father's willing to give over the bayis to his son. Now the Rush writes that which we say b'na gadol, it means the gadol ben azcharim. It means the oldest male. And that which we say, hisios arishon, means the first male that you're marrying off. If you married off a couple of daughters, still you're still eligible for this din, right? The son, the first son to be married off, is still eligible for this din. Some of the achronim raise a suffix. The Mishknas HaRoim raises the following suffix. If a guy only has one son, do we still assume this din? Meaning, is this din a way of saying, I'm so ecstatic about my first son being married that I want to give him something extra? Or is it, and therefore, if you had no other children, so there's nothing extra you're giving him anyway. He's going to be yorish everything he got anyhow. So it's not really extra. So therefore, maybe the din would not apply. Or do we say, no, that the din is that you're just so happy you want him to have a house to live in immediately? Right? So therefore, even if you didn't have any other children, you would still say this din. So the Mishknas HaRoim is mesupuk about this, about what we would say when it's an only child. And in Paskins La'alacha, that even if it's an only child, he would still be kona, as long as all the other tanaim are met, right? That he marries off a basula, it's his first wife, all that stuff, then we would assume that it does apply. Says Gemara Vayter, Pshita Yichidah of Bayis Valia, Bayis Kana Aliyah Lo Kana. It's clear that if you're miyachid for the wedding, a house and a top floor, which is like a second residence, so we assume that the son is only kona the bayis, not the aliyah. Bayis v'chsadra mahu. What, however, would be the halacha if you leave a bayis, if you marry him off in a bayis v'chsadra, a bayis that has a porch in front of it? Do we assume that the bayis that has a porch in front of it, the son is also kona the achsadra or not? Shnei batim zelef nimi zemahu. What if it were two batim? It wasn't a porch. It was two batim, one inside of the other one. Do we assume that you're kona both or only one of them? Teku, the Gemara leaves it as a teku. Now, both Rashi and Tosfos over here assume that there's an assumed imtim tzolomar in the Gemara. That we ask bayis v'achsadra, and then we say, imtim tzolomar by bayis v'achsadra, that the halacha should be X, what would you then say by shnei batim zelef nimizeh? Now, where Rashbam and Tosfos disagree is which direction the Imtim Tzolomar goes in. Meaning what they disagree about is, which one is the son more likely to be kona both? By the Bayis V'Achsadra, or the Shnei Batim Zulef Nemizu? So Rashbam says, Shnei Batim Imtim Tzolomar Bayis V'Achsadra kona. If you're going to say he's kona the Bayis and Achsadra, yeah, that's by the Bayis V'Achsadra, where you can say the Achsadra is bottled to the house. But maybe two Batim, they're two separate entities, and that he shouldn't be kona. So Rashbam understands he's more likely to be kona the Achsadra than he is the Shnei Batim Zulif Nemizu. Tosus assumes the other way. Tosus says, Bayis v'Achsadra Mahu, Din Hida Aliyah Lo Kana Achsadra Shaykh Tveh Ligabe Bayis, V'im Tim Tzalomer Lo Kana Mishum Dein Bo Tashmish Bayis, that it, the Im Tim Tzalomer is, if you're going to say you're not Kona the Achsadra, because an Achsadra is not used like a house. And the Takana Drabanan is that the son gets a house, not an Achsadra. So then what would you say by Shnei Batim Zulif Nemizu, where they're both used as a house, where they both have a tashmish of a bayis? So why does it make a difference what the Imtim Salomar is? So we've pointed out on several occasions that usually the Klal and Halacha, when the Rishonim try to figure out what the Halacha is on a Teku, if there was a series of Imtim Salomars, typically we paskin like the Imtim Salomar. Right, if we say, is the halacha A or B? And if the halacha is B, is it C or D? And if it's D, is it E or F? So typically that's an indication that we're going to paskin B and D, because we further explore within that possibility. So how you understand this Imtim Tzalomar of the Gemara may determine how you paskin. It may not be just purely academic, this machlokas. It may determine how you paskin about Bayis V'Achsadra. That according to the Rashbam, we make the Imtim Tzalomar within the Tzad that Bayis V'Achsadra, you are Kona. So then we paskin that you are Kona. According to Tosos, we make the assumption within the idea that Bayis V'Achsadra, you're not Kona. So then it would turn out you're not Kona. Okay, so Zemar Vaitin. Meisvei Yichlo of a Bayis Uklei Bayis, if the father leaves him over a bias and clay bias, right? Kalim that are used in the house. Clay bias kana, bias lo kana. So we see that you're kana the clay bias, but not the bias itself. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. Kigon shaya otsur shalav of munachsham. Now that's somewhere where the father leaves a lot of stuff. If the father leaves stuff in the house, then he's obviously saying, look, don't move your stuff in too quickly. I'm not leaving here so fast. Nardai Yamri afilu shuvcha diyoni. Even if he leaves a shovach of birds by the house, that still means that the father intends to retain ownership of it. Rav Yudav Rav Papi Amri afilu atzitza daharsana. Even if he leaves an atzitza daharsana in the house, which is a fish pot in the house, then even that, or a fish tank in the house, even that, he intends to show that he plans on keeping the house. Marzutra ansfei lebrei vitalele sandala. Rav Marzutra married off his son, and he hung a shoe in the house to show, in a very clear way, did something unusual, where it was very evident that he plans on keeping the house. Rav Ashi nasve lebrei vitalele ashisha demashka, and he hung a cup of oil up in the house. Amr Mazutra, hanitas mili shavin rabban kilksabla. Actually, before we get to Amr Mazutra, so they would hang these things in the house as a way of indicating that they're not moving out, that these houses are that they're keeping these houses for themselves, and they're not giving this house over to the child. So the Mabit writes, what you see from here is, let's say it's a machlokas between the father and the son, what the father intended to do, whether he wanted to give him the house. Who's the muchsak? So Mabit says, you see from this Gemara, from the fact that they had to do these very clear signs to show that, no, I, the father, am keeping the house, indicates that the default position is that it would go to the son. And therefore, the son is the muchsak. So that's the Mabit's diuk. However, other achronim are not so convinced. They say, no, the father's definitely the muchsak. He's the marakama. He's owned this house his whole life. Right? Why do they make such clear signs that they're keeping the house? Because they don't want to have to go to a din Torah. They don't want to have their son drag them through court. Yes, they're going to win because they're the muchsak. But still, they don't want it to have to come to that. So they do something to make it very evident that they're keeping it. Okay, now Vaiter. Am Razutra. Hani Tlas Mili Shavin Rabban Kilchsa B'lo Taima. There are three halachos that we assume are Takanas Drabanan that are Hilchsa B'lo Taima, that there's no logic for these Takanas Drabanan. Now all the Rishonim say, yeah, no logic. Yeah, there's logic for it. There is logic for it, but there's some element of it that's illogical or that we can't exactly work out. But for the most part, these are logical takanas. But what are they? Chadaha, one, this takana, that you marry off your son in the house, son gets the house. The other one that we said earlier in the Masechta, that when you write over all your nechasim to your wife, we assume all you're doing is making her an apotropos so that the children will respect her, but you don't really intend to write your children out of the Yerusha. The third is the idea of a kinyan b'mayim shlashtan, that you don't actually have to do a formal act of kinyan, that if you say to a third party that I want you to be makna, the item of mine that you have, to this other guy, so that's a kinyan. That works, and he's able to give it over to the other party. Now, Tosus over here points out that these all have their own logic. Hilchsa b'lotayim, he says, k'tzas tam yesh. There's a little bit of logic for each of them. Dekivin shepina sabayis samcha daiti deben, v'gam ein lo ana ladur, svaruhu shenasun lo. Right, the first halacha, since the father took all of his stuff out of the house, so the son is assuming the father's giving him the house, plus the son has nowhere else to live. So he has the right to assume that the father is giving him the house. So that's the logic for the first one. The second halacha, that when you write all the yerushasim to your wife, you're only making her apachabas, also logical. Because it's not mistaver that you would want to write all your children out of your yerusha and leave them with nothing. And the third halacha of Maimon Shloshan is that the Rechacham didn't want to be matriach a person, that he has to go schlep edim every time he wants to go make a kinyan. So they instituted this idea of Maimon Shloshan. So there certainly is svara for each of the three. It's just how they work. The mechanics of them are iffy. That's what we say is below taima. B'Maimon Shloshan, you didn't do a kinyan. Right? When you give over your nechasim to your wife, yeah, we assume you don't really mean to do it, but you did it. Right, when you didn't make a kinyan on this house to be machne to your son, and we assume it goes over to him. That's the part that's really below tam. Okay, the Ritva writes, so the other element of it that's below tam is that how much hana do you really get from making your son a wedding? Enough hana to give up a house for that hana? So that's a little much. So he says it just doesn't match in terms of the amount of hana versus the gift being given. Doesn't really seem to match. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter Mishnah. Achina shutfin shenafal echad mehem leumnas nafal leemtza. If you have brothers who are partners in the estate, and one of them is nafal leumnas. What does it mean nafal leumnas? So Rashbam writes, it means that, and the Gemara is going to explain, it means that the king drafted you. The king would draft random people from different families to take turns being the tax collector, and it was a very it was a very profitable venture. When you got to be the tax collector that month, you made a lot of money. So what happens to all that money? Right, the father's estate was chosen to take, one of the brothers who's in charge of the father's estate was chosen to be the one to do the tax collecting. What happens to that money? Mishra says they split it amongst all the brothers. Cholav nisrape nisrape mishalatzmo. If one of the brothers gets sick and he needs a refuah, so the refuah has to come from his own money. Tana, hai umnus lumnus hamelch. This umnus that we're talking about is serving as the king's tax collector. That's what we mean when we talk about umnus. Tana rabbanan, we have a braisa, echad min ha'achin, sheminu gabai o plumustus. If one of the brothers is appointed as the gabai or the plumustus, the police officer, the one who, or the warrior, im machmas ha'achin la'achin. If he was chosen because of the brothers, meaning he wasn't chosen as an individual, it was just someone from this family was going to be chosen, so they chose one of these brothers, right? So then the profits get split to all the brothers as well, because he was really just representing all of his brothers. He wasn't representing himself. But im machmas atzmo la'atzmo. But if he's chosen on his own account, he's being chosen because of who he is, not just as a representative of his family, then the money goes to him. Then he gets to keep it. So says Gemara, Machmas Achim Achim Pshita. If he was chosen on account of his brothers, that it goes to his brothers, of course, then it would be split amongst the brothers. If he was not chosen on account of himself. So says Gemara, Lo Tzricha Decharif Tfei. Mal Detema Chorfei Garim Lei Kamash Milan. No, we're talking about where one of the brother that was chosen was very bright. He was much smarter than the others. So one might have thought, oh, he must have been chosen because of his intelligence. He must have been chosen because of his own personal qualities. Kamash Milan, that until we know that he was chosen for his own personal qualities, we have the right to assume that he was chosen on behalf of all of his brothers. That's what Rabbeinu Yordan writes, that we're speaking in a case where they say that we're choosing you that we're choosing you stam, and they don't say explicitly why they're choosing you. So we have the right to assume Rabbeinu Yonah says the opposite. That dafka in a case where they tell you we're choosing you machmas ha'achim, you might have thought, yeah, that's what they're saying, but come on, this one is so much more charif, he's so much smarter than the others. Even though they're saying they're choosing you machmas ha'achim, they don't really mean it. Kamash malan, that if that's what they say, that's what they mean. Tan rabbanan, we have a brisa. Echad min ha'achim shenotel nasayim zuz lumel Torah lumel umnas. One of the brothers took 200 zuz to go learn Torah with, or to go pay tuition, or to go learn an umnas to pay for college. The brothers can say to him, look, if you're going to live with us, you get mezonos from the estate. If you're not going to live near us, you're going off to some other town to learn or to go off to college, then you don't get any mezonos. The Numka Yosef points out, why does the Dafka pick Lumot Torah, Lumot Umnus? He says, L'chadesh afilu shalach l'tzorch mitzvah. It's l'chadesh, and even if he's going for the sake of a mitzvah, because Lumot Umnus is a mitzvah also, that even so, they could say to him, sorry, you don't get mezonos if you don't stay at home. You stay at home, you get the mezonos, otherwise forget it. Why is that fair? Why don't they just give him the mezonos wherever he is? So wherever he happens to be, let him collect the mezonos from there. This is a riot to Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds that Birchas Habayis is Beruba, that the bracha on a house, we assume, happens when there are a lot of people in the house, that the more people that are in the house, the more bracha there's going to be in the house. But if there are fewer people in the house, then we assume there's not going to be as much bracha. So they could say to him, you think you're going off to make money for yourself, you're going off to college to get yourself an education, or going off to learn Torah, and it's not costing us anything, it's costing us something. Having fewer people in the house costs us money. Now, why does it cost the money to have fewer people in the house? So Tosfos writes, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, ner le'echa, ner le'meya, the electric bill. You have to go live somewhere else so you can have a separate electric bill. But now, if you would have lived at home, that same light that lights up the house for one of us lights up the house for 100 of us. It's lavdafka electric bill. It means that there are certain expenses that are incurred when you have people living in different locations that would not be incurred if everyone was living together. The Yesh Mefarshim, however, he says, others say, de mazal de betray adif. No, it's a din in mazal. It's not about anything real that we could put our finger on. It's a mazal, that the mazal of the house is better the more people you have there. Frek Tosos, but wait a second, the Gemara is going to say, well, let's just read the Gemara first. Why don't you give him, taking into account how much the bayis suffered by his absence, but give him the difference? So answers the Gemara, yeah, you would do that. So says Tosos, wait a second, how do you make such a cheshbon? If it's totally in mazel, that the house has better mazel when he's around, so how are you going to cheshbon out? It probably had $100 worth of mazel when he was here. So him leaving costs $100. What do you know what mazel cost you? So how are you going to make such a cheshbon? So Tosfos says, no, it's very simple to make the cheshbon. You know how you make the cheshbon? Figure out how much money the house made last year and how much money the household is making this year. Look at how much you're in the black this year and how much you were last year and see the difference. And that's the mazel that was taken away. But then Tosfos says, vei nira l'ri. That's, what kind of cheshbon is that? Some years you just have better years, some years you have worse years. You can't always attribute the entire difference to mazel. Maybe the difference was even greater. You don't know what the difference would have been. So he doesn't understand exactly how that works out. Fine. Says the Gemara Vayter, Chalav Nisrapi Nisrapi Mishalatzmo. If he got sick and he got a refuah, so the refuah comes from his own money. So Shalach Rav Mishmed Rabbi La Lo Shano Shal Chalav B'Pshia. That's only if he owes his illness to his own negligence. Aval Ba'onis Nisrapi Min Emtsa. But if his illness had nothing to do with him, he didn't go outside in the freezing cold without a coat on, right? He didn't forget to put on his sweater, right? So then he just got sick. It wasn't his fault. Then everyone's going to have to pay for the refuah. All the brothers, the whole state pays for the refuah. Hechidam b'pshia. What does it mean that he's negligent? Kedar Rabbi Chanina. Damer Rabbi Chanina. Kol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinum pachim. Shnei mitzinum pachim b'derech yikei shomer nafsho yirachek mehem. What does it mean that he's poshaya with his health? It means that he didn't protect himself from the cold or from the heat. That he didn't protect himself from the cold. That if you have that any other illness, you can't really protect yourself from. But illness that's caught by exposing yourself to frigid temperatures, that you can protect yourself from by putting on more clothing, by putting on a coat, that you can take care of. Says Tosos, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mitzinum pachim. Pirish, Aryeh, Veganvi, Abalim al Adma, Kol nigzar bidei shemayim. That anything else that happens to you, lions attack you, anything like that, that's a gzera min hashemayim. Tzinum upachim mizeh lo nigzar alof klum yachol lishmar. That's not a gzera min hashemayim. Meaning it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu never made a gzera up in shemayim that you should get sick, and you're still going to get sick. Why? Because of your own negligence. That can happen, says Tosfos. Rav Elchanan writes in Kavitza Aros that he can't conceive hashkafically of something being of that being true. He says, Lule Divrei Tosfos, I would say that there's no chilik between what you do to yourself and what other people do to you. Just like no one else can kill you without it being nigzar min hashamayim, and nevertheless the rotzeach is still held responsible for it, so too you can't get yourself sick without a Kadosh Baruch Hu decreeing up in shamayim that you're going to be sick. And nevertheless, because the way it happened was through your negligence, you could still be held accountable for it. But it can't be, says Rav Elchanan, that it happens without a gzeirah min hashamayim. Illness comes when there's a gzeirah min hashamayim. It can't be that you do it to yourself, that it just happens, that bechira has the right to overpower gzeirah min hashamayim. There is a very well-known Aruch Chaim HaKadosh on Chumash that says that not only can you do something to yourself when it's not nigzeirah min hashamayim, you can even do something to somebody else that was not nigzar min hashamayim. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, if you take a gun and you shoot somebody in the head, that person will die even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never decreed up in shamayim that the person is supposed to die. You have the right to have bechira even to that extent, a tremendous hashkafik chiddush of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. And it says, the only thing that won't happen without gzeir min hashamayim is wild animals won't attack the person without gzeir min hashamayim, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. And he says, that's what the brothers of Yosef were thinking when they decided to throw him into the pit. They said, we don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. If we kill him, it might be us. It might not be a gzeirah min hashamayim. So throw him into a pit that has snakes and scorpions and see what happens. We'll see if the snakes attack him. If it's gzeirah min hashamayim, the snakes will attack him. That would have major implications hashkafically in terms of explaining the Holocaust and tragedies and disasters where human beings were involved, to say, how could God do it? That according to that Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, God didn't do anything. Human beings did it. And Bechiri even has the power to overpower the gzeirah min hashamayim.